Second Corinthians chapter 5. Second Corinthians chapter 5. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Chapter 5, verse 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and had committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as thou God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's all. Surrender, submit, yield, and offer ourselves as a whole to the ruler of the feast, to the master, to the good shepherd, to the righteous judge, to the prince of peace, the prince of life, the marvelous light that called all of us to walk in light. Let's all humbly bow before the mighty hand of God, Jesus Christ, glorious Jesus Christ, who is seated at the right hand of the Father. Let's all bow physically, spiritually, mentally, psychologically, as a whole we are. God has created us in his image and in his likeness. Let's surrender to him. Our gracious Heavenly Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, our dear Savior, blessed Redeemer, thank you, Lord, that the power of resurrection that is guiding all of us, leading all of us in this narrow path. Thank you, Lord, for showing us the way, the salvation, by the guidance of the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, by the light that is shining forth from our life, by the living word that is working effectively, deeply inside every one of us. Thank you, Lord, that we all can experience that we are the part of the word. And we are the part of the ministry of reconciliation. And we are who we are because of the power of resurrection. Thank you, Lord, for quickening all of us. We were all walking dead. But you decided no more. And you called us. You spoke to us. You touched us. You made us to experience the agape love that you showed us on Calvary. Lord, we thank you. You are changing us from glory to glory. You want us to reach the state of perfection. We are all perfect in your promises, but we have a journey to finish, O Lord. Lord, we pray and we invite thy divine presence to come and soak all of us. We don't want to play in the drizzle of the rain, but we want to swim in the depths of thy ocean, O Lord. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, let there be longing, let there be the calling from the deep, that we want more. May you help all of us today, that we open our hearts wide, open our mind wide, open our thoughts, our desire, our passion for Christ wide as we can, as best as we can, to offer the best of our sacrifices, our life as it is. So Lord, we pray that you fill us today, Lord. You know the needs of our life. You call all of us to seek the kingdom of heaven first. And Lord, we are here today to seek the kingdom of heaven first. And Lord, we pray that you be with us today. Stand in the midst of us today. Speak to us. Help us to listen to thy voice. And help us to soak, to be soaked in the presence of the Lord Almighty. Because every single day, you are doing something in us and we are changing. Not for our very own self, but to be fruitful for thy ministry, to be fruitful for thy purpose, to be fruitful for the souls who are wandering in darkness, to be a meaningful vessel of God who glorify the name of the Lord. Lord, we pray, touch us, speak to us through your word. We submit at thy feet. We surrender at thy feet. And spiritually, Lord, you can make all of us to be seated in the heavenly places. In the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we all prayed. Amen and amen. God bless you all. Shalom, my dear brethren. Praise the Lord for the wonderful worship. We thank the Lord for the joy that is flowing like a river. We thank the Lord for the peace, which is the reason the river do not become anything else. Amen. I was recently walking across a river when I was overseas yesterday. And the taxi was traveling on the road. On the side of the road, there was a huge river. For about few kilometers, the main road and that river, they were in parallel. So I was sitting in the taxi, and the river was flowing. There were some fishermen fishing, and the river was flowing. And the taxi was also going. But the road would not move. The wheels of the taxi needs to rotate for me to move. But that river, I look very small compared to the river. It moves as cool as it can be. Nobody is there to help. Nobody can stop the power of God's creation. The purest form of nature, it proclaims the holiness of God. Nothing more, nothing less, no artificial things, no exaggeration, as simple as it can be, as plain as it could be, and as truthful as it should be. So that river was going so beautifully, and I could see the ocean on a far horizon because it's a 60-kilometer journey from airport to my family relative's place. So I truly enjoyed, you know, that sight of river mixing with the ocean. It's a very long river. So I was thinking in my heart, how come the river can keep its shape to be intact so that it won't become a pond, it won't become a lake? Then as we were traveling on that road, there were divisions, like small canals from the river. A big river, some small canals, you know, that makes small pond for agricultural lands. They store the water to water the plants for agriculture. So same river, the purpose of the river is to go and disappear in the ocean, but in that process, it can create gardens. It can create vineyards. It can create agricultural lands. And people survived because they were able to store the river. They had to dig some like a pond so that the river can be stored. They take, but the river will keep on fill the pond. As long as the river flows, the pond will be filled and the agricultural land will not be destroyed. So just one simple side effect or byproduct, I would say, of this process. There are so much. The way the Lord controls the seasons, winter, summer, autumn, the way the Lord moves water here and there. He moves the air here and there, and he controls the whole world to be livable. But we people make it to be absolutely not worthy to be livable. That's what humans do. We stop the flow of nature. We interrupt the balance of such a beautiful, pure ecosystem. We are like the unwanted guest in the house, troubling all the house family or those who truly keep the house, which is the creation of God. And the Lord wanted to transform us to be part of that house. And we call him the household God. And he gave the promise to Abraham, I will bring everyone to be seated in my house, physically, spiritually, with the right mind. When Jesus Christ healed the man who was possessed with demons, the Bible says that man was sleeping in the tomb, cutting himself with sharp stones. He was naked. No man could chain him. He was able to break all the chains. And he was making a chaos. And people, they literally cast him out of the city. He was hiding in the tombs. He was like a problem creator for the city. And everybody, they ignored him. But he was not dead. And there was no one to intercede for him. There was no one to go and plead to the Lord that save him. But the scripture says Jesus was walking in that region, and this man who was possessed, he saw him far off. He ran to him and knelt down, the seed in him crying for help. But the thing that possessed him, it was rebelling against him. The seed in him made him to run toward him. But the evil spirit that was possessing his mind, it was telling the Son of David, why are you here? What I have to do with thee? The question is, if you are not attracted to him, then why did you run toward him instead of running far away from him? We often forget the fact that we are all created by God. Every one of your colleagues, your families, your relatives, the one that you see in the food court or the train or the bus, who created them? Are they created in someone's likeness or image? Just because the Lord revealed to us, we became special all of a sudden, and they became underprivileged people? Is that so? So that healing of Jesus meeting the man who was not in his right frame of mind, the Bible says the Lord commanded, rebuked that evil spirit to leave him. But after that, the scripture says, the people were shocked, surprised, and they were scared to see that man clothed, sitting with the right mind. That is how the Bible captures that testimony. He was seated, clothed in right mind. So, what was the healing? What you would say? Oh, demonic possessed man, healed from demons. Now the man is free. No, the Lord was focusing on the mind of that man. Not the physical appearance of what is going through. The mind of the man. If you go a bit deeper, those sharp stones, the Lord called all of us to be able to stand firm on the chief cornerstone, the foundation that is sure. The wife of Moses, when the Lord told him, I am going to take your son away from you, because there was no circumcision for the son of Moses. The wife of Moses, she found a sharp stone. The Bible says she found a sharp stone and circumcised the son of Moses. And he told the husband, bloody husband are you for me. He wanted to save the son from God Almighty. Now this man who was possessed by demonic spirits, he was cutting himself with sharp stones. Not the sharp stone that could save his life, but the sharp stone, lack of understanding, that would only cause harming, self-loathing. That can only affect you as a person, in bodily, spiritually, mentally. And the Lord delivered that man from that lack of understanding. And the Bible called all of us, you are the tabernacle of the Holy Ghost, the temple of the Holy Ghost. If there is no glory, if there is no spirit, if there is no the Lord's presence, the temple is nothing but a tomb. Exactly the same way the man was sleeping in the tomb. If there is no life, it's a tomb. If there is no the Lord's will or presence in this room, it's an office, not a church. The presence of the Lord makes the temple as a temple of Holy Ghost. Because there are temple of men, temple of women, temple of Ashtaroth, temple of so many gods, temple of people. But in order for us to be the temple of Holy Ghost, the life must dwell. Not just visit and go. Not just come and say, how are you, and go. Dwell. Dwelling of the Lord's presence is absolutely critical for us to have the mind of Christ. Because the mind of Christ is not good morning, good evening, good night. It's life. It's present, ever present. It has to be present. We must be in that state of the mind of Christ. So when the Lord healed that man, the physical sense would say, the demonic spirits left this man. Praise the Lord. But that man was clothed in right mind. Bring it back spiritually. Are we clothed by salvation? Are we clothed by spirit? Are we clothed by the word bride, the bride wife, the wife of the Lamb, the bride of Christ? If you are all clothed, sitting, resting in the peace of God, in the absolute assurance of God, blessed confidence in the Lord, as scripture says, that man had a mind, in right mind, the mind of the righteous judge. If we have that, spiritually the Lord would say, we are healed from our own possession, from our own lack of understanding, from our own sharp stones. When the understanding of the Lord is compromised, there is no chief cornerstone. There is only nothing but vain glory of vain doctrines that will cause damage to us. So, may the Lord help us. When the Lord performed that miracle, there was no man between Jesus Christ and the man who was in need. And the Lord met him in person and healed him. Now, as we started this sermon today with ministry of reconciliation, is there any ministry, any man, anything that can stand between God who reconciled all of us back to Him and children who are yet to be reconciled? Is there anything that can stand in the gap and feel that we are indispensable? Remember the healing that I just mentioned. How Jesus healed a man who was sleeping in the tomb, cutting into the sharp stone. He met him personally, he healed him personally, and he was healed. What if that man is also a type of a bride? What if he is like Rahab, who was called the harlot, but yet she was redeemed from the walls of Jericho? What if he was like the lame, who was sitting at the gate, the beautiful gate, could not go inside all his life? A certain man, but Peter and John healed him, brought him inside, baptized him. But even more so, Peter and John could not escape from those who surrounded them. But because of the testimony of that man who was healed, because he stood by them, he held Peter and John. The scripture says they could not do anything to Peter and John because of the lame who was healed stood by them. So who is powerful? Peter and John may think, we healed you. The testimony would say, because of me, you were not killed. The Lord would be watching both of them. He would say, continue. Continue your case. The testimony of Jesus is a spirit of prophecy. Peter and John prophesied. He was healed. The one who was healed, he stood. And because he stood, those two could not get killed. What if, on the day of Calvary, all 11 disciples stood by Jesus and they tell all the soldiers, you kill us first before you touch our master. Like Moses. How come? Deuteronomy chapter 9 that we studied last Sunday. How come? Thousands of years ago, Moses said, I took your sin without receiving the comforter, without receiving the power of resurrection, without experiencing what the disciples experienced, without witnessing Jesus Christ baptized by John the Baptist, without seeing any of it, Moses said, I took your sin. Because God was about to kill Aaron. That is why I wanted to start the sermon series on garment to focus on Aaron. But God was about to destroy Aaron. But yet Moses said, I took his sin. Come and destroy me. And God looked at Moses, you are a righteous man. Yes, that's why. Come and kill me. I'm righteous God. I can't kill you. Yes. Moses took the sin of Aaron. Love covers multitude of sins. Then who covered Aaron? The garment of Aaron? The sons of Aaron? The multitude of Israel? No. The one who put the garment on him is the one who covered him. When the Lord allowed Moses to clothe Aaron, Aaron was clothed by Moses. Moses clothed Aaron. But Moses knows, I am also covering you with myself. In future, if something goes wrong, I will stand in the gap for you. I will get killed for you. Don't you know Moses knows the drill? Aaron knows the drill. Everybody knows the drill. Apostle Paul knows the drill. Stephen knows the drill. They all know the drill. And what is that? live for the people of God and serve the people of God and fulfill the promises of God for the people of God. Everything was about the people of God, not about themselves. Because anything that is about myself, that is not a servant but of Christ. The parables of Jesus, not for Jesus to remember what he know. It's for him to feed. The teachings of Apostle Paul, not for him to refresh his sharpness of knowledge. It was for him to provide. Because he said, last Sunday I said, Apostle Paul says, I did not keep anything with me that is profitable to you. Because I can't. He is nothing but a water pot of stone. The one who fills is the one who serves. The one who transforms the water into wine is the one who serves. So Apostle Paul says, I don't control my service. I just submit to the one who made me to be a servant. What a beautiful, deeper understanding of Apostle Paul. Jesus gave spiritual milk. Apostle Paul gave meats and bones. Correct? But was it Apostle Paul? Or the Lord who works through Apostle Paul? So there is a time for everything, season for everything. A season of dry, thirsty land. A season of beautifully provided fountains and green gardens. A season of valley, season of top mountain. Season of pain, season of joy. The Lord allowed so many things. But He is not playing with us. He knows exactly where we should be at any point of our life, any time of our life. So that you won't become an unfaithful man. That is all He cares about. So that we would never forsake Him. We would never turn our back. And how we can have such a level of faith is because we should learn from the mind of the servants of God who stood true until the end. They were never about themselves. That is why they were able to stand until the last breath of their lives. They always think what is good for the family of God, for the ministry of God, for God's promises. Then I will align myself to that good. By the grace of God, today we shall meditate on the topic, the power of reconciliation. Because we are all excited about power of resurrection. Praise the Lord. Comforter, Holy Ghost, fruits of the Spirit, gift of the Spirit. Let's take a stop. Let's hold our peace. Do we really think the power of resurrection can be realized at the fullest potential without going through reconciliation? Without completing restitution? Reconciliation, restitution, resurrection, revival, restoration. There are so many things. But the true repentance, the roof of true repentance, we are focusing on the change, not the sorry, the change. And in that change, how crucial the pillar of reconciliation. If God reconciled all of us back to Him through Christ, and Christ said, I am the way. You want to be reconciled back to the Creator? I am the way. I am the Word. I am the only way. Reconciled through me. Peter denied Christ, but the Lord reconciled Peter back to Him. He restored him. God did not force Peter. God wanted Peter to willingly surrender himself, for that He allowed him to be denied 3 times. But yet Peter was reconciled as an apostle back to the Lord. Because the reconciliation of God cannot be stopped by the rebellion of men. If that man, or that woman, that family, that ministry, that seed, that vessel is a seed of God. Why? The seed of God is more powerful than the flesh of your life. The one who was possessed ran to Jesus, not ran away from Jesus. How come? You should run away from Him if you are scared of Him. But ran to Jesus because He knows I can't escape from Him. No one can escape from Him. No one can hide from the eyes of the Spirit. Is there any place on this earth can we hide from Him? The deep intentions of our heart is speaking louder to His ears. That is how transparent we are to Him. How vulnerable we are to Him. No one can hide us from Him. But He can hide us from everything in His wings. So now, today, by God's grace, we start from the reconciliation of God and God's children through Christ, the complete manifestation of God's Word. And why we don't apply this on us? Why we don't apply this on us? Have I reconciled my brother, my sister, my family, my colleague, the person whom I know? Have I reconciled with him, with her? Have I reconciled with them? Or we simply hide behind the scripture saying that I forgive them. My dear brethren, it is very easy to say I forgive you. It is absolutely difficult to say, can you forgive me? We cannot always stand on the ground of being forgiving people. We should go down to the state of asking for forgiveness. That is the toughest challenge, the flesh. It's easy to give. I have so much money, take it. But when we are not in a good state, do we have the humbleness to ask? Sometimes we misunderstand scripture, it is more blessed to give than to receive, right? Why can't we give humility by asking? Why can't we give humbleness by asking? But God, we always want to give, because it's always easy to take a stand at a higher ground and to look down, because our neck is always stiff. But the Lord wants to break the stiff neck so that we can look up. There is always someone above you. There is always someone spiritually, physically, in terms of doing good, thinking good, serving God, always higher than you, because there is one who is higher than him. That goes all the way pointing to Jesus Christ seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven. There is always who is better than us, who is good than us, who is humble than us, who is sincere than us, because God would make sure that no flesh can feel confidence in the flesh. He would make us to feel absolutely no confidence in the flesh, to put all our confidence in him, because God is spirit. Now let's turn our Bibles to Colossians chapter 1, verse 21 to 23. I want us to complete the words of apostle written to different churches, different groups, as the Lord wanted to pass the message to preach the truth. Then from there, we will take it back to Genesis. Colossians chapter 1, I shall read from verse 19. Colossians chapter 1, verse 19. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Not some, not a part. All fullness dwell. For there is only one Savior. And having made peace through the blood of his cross. What? Peace. And always forgotten fruit, forgotten benefit of cross. We always take cross as blood was shed, I'm saved. Blood was shed, I'm washed. Blood was shed, I'm victorious. But look at the scripture deeply. Having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, not the things of men, not the things of the world, all things, yea, the deep things of God. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Verse 21. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You were alienated sometime and enemies in your mind. We were all enemies because of our mind. By wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Now remember the healing of the man who was possessed, the clothing of that man with the right mind. I'm not reading the scripture because I want all of us to reflect that without reading the scripture. Then you can meditate on your own in this week. Now, learn from this scripture, verse 21, you were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind, in all of us, walking dead by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. He reconciled, not us. We cannot twist the word. We did not reconcile us to him. We did not reconcile him to us. He reconciled us to him. Salvation is given, not won, not taken, given. So that he can present us holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight. So this is the reason he did.
Verse 23, if ye continue in the faith grounded and settled, seated, like the man who was ill, sitting, spiritually speaking. We run work physically, but spiritually. Without peace of God, how can the Lord say that we are all seated in heavenly places? We are wandering here and there if there is no peace of God. If there is no contentment, we are running here and there. No focus. The Lord said to Mary, you did good by sitting at my feet. Because the feet of Christ, it preached gospel of peace. And she was resting in that peace. And the anointing that she was doing, anointed the feet of Christ, that it shows that she did the work to earn that food. It was not given to her for free. She sat at the feet of Christ, anointed his feet. Amen? It was not given to her freely. The Lord wanted us to do our work. Do not be the hearers, but be the doers of my word. Now, verse 23 says, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. So Paul proclaims the reason why he is serving the Lord. If the Lord was all about the salvation of Saul, the man who was the Jew who was persecuting the church, Saul could have finished his journey after Jesus Christ met him, opened his eyes, gave himself to him. And Saul would have said, goodbye everyone, I'm going home. But the Lord says, wait. I did all this to you so that you can be a blessing to someone. I did all this to you so that you can bear the pain of someone. You can stand in the gap of someone. You can took the sin of someone. Why Saul had to go through fellowship of sufferings if everything is done on Calvary? Think. What makes the suffering of Saul more than what was needed on top of the suffering of Jesus Christ? If everything is done on Calvary, one atonement, one sacrifice, then why the children of God suffer? When Moses said, I took your sin, was there any other option to protect the people of God at that point of time? No. The animals cannot say, we take our own sin. Moses had to say, I take the sin. So when Jesus called all his servants that he throw all of us like a lamb in the midst of wolves, the Lord is not rejoicing in the pain and suffering of the children. It is the only way for us to stay focused on him. At the same time, he also cannot let anyone to suffer for no reason. Because I am the Lord, I have not done anything without a cause. And that cause is always the salvation, redemption, healing of his people. So someone must go through the pain on behalf of them. Someone needs to take something on behalf of some who cannot take it. So, in this process, the Lord perfect, the one who suffer, the one who make the one to suffer, and the one they are suffering for, and the one they are making them to feel the pain, the Lord perfect all of them in the same furnace of his perfect will. Everyone is tested, everyone is pruned, everyone is encouraged, everyone is edified, everyone is chastened, everyone is taught, everyone is being molded by the potter at the same time, by allowing us to be knitted closely together as one God's family. The perfection of the Lord is a process. Amen? And we are all influencing one another. Because we are the branches of the same tree. We are the branches of the same vine. And that influence, the Lord says, edify, encourage, help, share love, speak the truth, ABA, NABNA. The Lord is teaching all of us, if you do all of this, you would be automatically aligned to look like the tree of life, because I will be conforming to you. You will be conforming to me. Now, let's read Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Before we go into the main theme, let's read the scriptures to refresh our mind. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 14. For he is our peace. And what book of Colossians said? He made peace through the blood of his cross. And now the Bible says he is our peace. Prince of peace.
Why? Prince means what? A son of the king. But he is a king. Look at the perception of how the scripture gives him name. Prince of peace, when I bear the fruit of Christ, he is the prince of peace. I give him to you, the prince of peace. But I serve him because he is the king of kings. I bear his fruit, he becomes prince of life. But he is the life. The fruit is known by the tree. He is our peace who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us. You talk about reconciliation, look at the one who breaks the walls and he can make reconciliation. He don't just make the walls, he breaks the walls also. He can break the walls of everything that is in between us. We are all seated. There is one wall on the left, one wall on the right. But the Lord would say, hundreds of walls in between every one of us. And he would say, I can break it if you can let me break it. Because God would never work against the free will of men. So the one who breaks the wall to make one, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man. How many? One new man making peace. Every time you remember the scripture, the feet shod with the preparation of gospel of peace. Remember these two verses. From where it originates and where it travels. Because it's a river. The work of the Lord is a river. It's doing something, flowing something. Now, so making peace. So he made peace from his blood of cross. He is the peace, but he don't want to stop. He wants to make peace. And we are all called to preach that gospel of peace. So what is peace? Saying sorry, forgiving everything, compromising the word of God in the name of love and mercy and kindness of men? Not peace. Isaiah 5:20. Woe to him who say peace when there is no peace. Which means what? We must stand in the place where Jesus stands. We must choose the battle wisely where Joshua is there. If I don't stand with my Prince of Peace, I might be standing with the peace of men. Peace of darkness, peace of the world. And the Lord says, don't do that. There is only one peace that comes from him. He is the one. The only one, the holy one, the mighty one, the anointed. And his peace is revealed by his spirit. Is given by his spirit. He comforts us in his spirit. In his peace, the comforter. So now he says, that he might reconcile both unto God, in one body, by the cross, having slain the enmity, not the enemy. Enmity. What is enmity? Not a person. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the spiritual wickedness of high places. From where Jezebel fell. High tower. High places. The spiritual wickedness fell from top. The Lord allowed it to climb to the top, so that when it falls, he knows for sure it will die without no one having to put the sword on that flesh of wickedness. The dogs that ate that flesh. But Jesus said, eat my body, my bread of life. And he wanted all of us to be part of that bread so that everyone can eat. Not the dogs, the seeds of God, the saints of God can eat one another when the goodness of God is shining forth from you. But that light would not be compromised. A single candle can lit countless candles without losing its light. That is a representation of God's spirit. He is spirit. He made all of us in spirit, soul, body. But that doesn't make him lose anything because he is who he is. The self-sufficient, eternal Holy Spirit. Now that Lord, our Almighty, our God, great God in heaven, he gave his only Son and people splitted that verse into two. God, Son. And the Bible says, I am the only Savior. People cannot put it back. So what they do, they cut, separate, and they put together, and they say 2-in-1, 3-in-1, 4-in-1. All in one. One means one. A means A. Ne means ne. One means one. No 2-in-1, no 3-in-1. One, one. Let's stop it there. Greatness of God cannot be understood by the wickedness of men. God's greatness cannot be measured. Let's know ourselves. We hold on to the word that is revealed to us. We stop it there. Let's don't explore further which is not revealed to us. Book of Revelation, chapter 19, verse 12 says, the Lord's name that was written, no man know but he himself. So there are things that you don't know. Let's accept it. Lord, thou knowest, I don't know. That is where contentment comes. When contentment comes, revelation takes place. When greediness lasts, revelation would never come near to us. So now, the reconciliation of what happened on Calvary, blood compared to spirit, blood is life in the flesh, spirit is life, the only life. And the Lord Jesus Christ, he made peace by shedding the blood. Peace with whom? So do you really think God had to send his only son to be crucified on the cross to shed the blood so that he can make peace with the world and tell the world, don't harm my people? Who are they? Everything bows to him. Everyone trembles of his presence. There is no one who can go against Joshua. So he made peace with who? Just now scripture said, we were all enemies in our mind against him. And he loved the enemies, you and me. And he reconciled all of us back to him. He made peace. When we were walking dead, don't you see we were his enemies? Every one of us, until we were walking dead, knowingly or unknowingly, we were all his enemies. Why? If there is no life, there is only death. Death has no place in eternity. And Lord looked at the wicked mind of our life. He yet decided to reconcile back to us. When we are in the filthiest form of our life, he yet decided, I will reconcile you back to me. Why? Who stood in the gap for us at that point of time? God looked down and he said, I looked for a man to stand in the gap. I found none. He didn't say, I found some. He didn't say, I found few. He said, I found none. Without the Spirit of God, no man can stand in the gap. It has to be God himself. Without the leading of the Spirit, no one can intercede. No one can do the work. No one can serve the Lord. Because he is holy and he will not give his glory to anyone but to himself. If he is in me, I can serve him. And God said, David, you are a man after my own heart. I could see my Spirit leading in you. I am pleased in you. And he called him man after my own heart. So God has a heart. He is Spirit. Which heart? The will of the Father in heaven. David was willing to do. He couldn't do. But was willing to do with all his best. The Lord saw that longingness, that unquenchable fire, that humbleness, that steadfast mind. God said, I'm pleased in you. I will call you the man after my own heart because you did all my will. He did not say, you are a good man. He said, you did my will. Doing the will of God needs a process. Because no one is that righteous to go and simply do it just like that, like a boss. There's a process to go near to him, to enter into the Holy of Holies. So now it says, verse 17, and came and preached peace to you, preaching Jesus Christ, because he is our peace. Which were afar off unto them that were nigh, for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Book of Revelation. Those who did according to what he said by deeds, they will have the access to the righteous, the tree of life. They will have the right to the tree of life. Amen? Because they're thrown out. And the Garden of Eden needs to reconcile us back to him. He is the way. And how he is the way? When we do what he did, he becomes our way. Not just believing what he did. Not just seeing what he did. Because everyone, they saw what he did. But only few, they could do what he did. And those few are those, many are called, few are chosen. And those few are the chosen one by the Comforter who led them to finish their journey. Amen? Now, today, by God's grace, we will bring the reconciliation of men, reconciliation of God, into one single point. Because there is no two different reconciliation. There is only one. Same as Revelation, there is only one reconciliation. And that reconciliation has been splitted, circumcised into multiple pieces by people. But there is only one reconciliation that is acceptable to the one
who had begun the ministry of reconciliation. It has to be in line with that reconciliation. That is a type and shadow. That is a pattern how the Lord works. We cannot create our own pattern. And we say, reconcile. The Lord would say, I don't accept it. My brethren, one spirit, one church, one bride, one reconciliation, one restitution, one revelation. Everything is one. And what is that one? The one that is acceptable to the Holy One. That has been instructed by the Mighty One. One. And by God's grace, we will meditate on that today. Amen. Well, let's turn your Bibles to the book of Romans, chapter 5. Book of Romans, chapter 5. Verse 10 and 11. 5, verse 10 and 11. For if we were enemies, now hitting us straight on the face. Now we were enemies. I thought I was walking dead. Comfortable for me to say, no, I'm a sick person, I'm healed. I was walking dead, I found life, I still feel good. No, the Lord says, come. Let's speak the truth as it is. We were enemies. Now you understand why God told all of us, love your enemies. Because you were my enemy. I loved you. To bring you out of that enmity. I destroy the enmity. For you to taste eternity. Don't lie with vanity. And that God Almighty, He says, we were enemies. We were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. Now you understand how He made peace by His blood from the cross. What we think? My Lord is against all the demonic spirits, all the prince of the land, all the wickedness, my brethren, everything bows to Him. Whether you like it or not, whether you serve Him, want to serve Him or not, whether you love Him or not, my brethren, remember this. Everything on this earth, on the heaven, everything works for Him. No other choice. Pharaoh was working for Him. Without God telling Pharaoh, just help me to corner my people near the Red Sea so that I can actually teach them lesson. God did not tell Pharaoh. Pharaoh was doing his work. Oh, chase them. Let's corner them. My brethren, even the wickedness, even the adversities, even the pain, even the enemies, everything will work for Him. Whether they know or not, there is none can escape doing the will of God. The only difference is those who please Him, those who grieve Him. Those who glorify His name and those who profane His name. And the Lord says, I identify myself with light. Those who please me, those who glorify me, because they know me. But on the other side, I'm not identifying myself, but either way, everything will work for Him. Because the perfect will of God is more powerful than the cunningness of men. They can't do anything against Him. Everything will bow to what He had purposed. The difference is He separated in the weeds and tares, but He allowed both to grow together because there is a purpose. Now, it says, so much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. So now the Lord focused on the fruit of it. Where enemies reconciled by the cross, by the death of His Son. So, now I want to focus on the sequence, step-by-step sequence. Reconciliation is linked to the death of the Lord on cross. But the power of resurrection, it moves to salvation, comforter, revelation of truth, the journey of the bride that starts. But reconciliation came first. Am I reading the same verse? Or is there anyone who has found a new translation? It says, read it carefully. We were enemies, we were reconciled. Let's stop it there. We were enemies, we were reconciled. We were enemies, we were reconciled. To God by the death of His Son. The blood was shed. The Lord made peace between enemies to the Lord to make them to be the children of God. Esau was willing to kill Jacob. But when Jacob saw him, he fell to the ground. 7 times he bowed to the ground. He seek forgiveness to the brother. He hugged him. They kissed each other. There was love. But if you look deeply, the birthright of Esau was taken by Jacob. Jacob deceived Esau. Until the last breath of the life of Jacob, he wouldn't remember it belongs to Esau. I took it from him. I deceived him for a piece of some morsel of bread, some food. I deceived him. I took advantage. I took advantage of his weakness. The love of God is our strength. But the love of God is also the reason why God remains gracious and merciful. But in that, we cannot be too familiar with God. Remember, the God of the Old Testament is the God of the New Testament. Amen. If you think he has become so merciful, why when Peter spoke, Ananias died? Why when Peter spoke, the wife of Ananias died? Why? We are in Book of Acts, not in Old Testament. God of the Old Testament is the God of the New Testament. No change. He is the same. But the way he works, he introduced a time frame. I will judge after this. But he didn't say, I won't judge. He would judge. But he says, I will choose this time of judgment. The same way how he ordained the time of life. He has a time for everything. That, because of Calvary, the Lord decided to be this way. Because Jesus Christ, he reconciled all the enemies back to him. And because of that, the Bible says, we shall be saved by his life. Life and death in a single verse. Do you see what's happening there? Life and death. The death of Christ reconciled the enemies back to God. But not to reconcile alone, but to give life. Who is the life? He is the life. He is the peace. He is the life. All in all. Now, let's go to same book, Romans chapter 11. Chapter 11. Verse 15. Look at the side effects of reconciliation by rejection, by the failure of someone. Verse 11. Chapter 11, verse 15. Sorry. Romans 11, 15. For if the casting away of them. I want all of us to reflect ourselves in this verse. If the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be? But life from the dead? Romans 10, 11. Romans 5, 11. Remember these two verses. The Lord will speak to our hearts deeply. By death of Christ, enemies were reconciled to give the life, which is Christ. And here, Apostle Paul is talking about the apostolic faith. It talks to all of us today that the casting away of them, like how the blindness of Jews opened the doors of salvation for Gentiles, the Gentile age was begun because Jews became blinder. They could not see Jesus Christ. So the Lord shut one door, opened the other door. But now, the Lord Almighty, he has set his eyes on Israel, which means the grace period of Gentiles will come to an end very soon. The time is near. He will shut the door, he will open the door. What God had opened, no man can shut. And the Bible calls all of us, repent and return unto me before I shut the gates. Because after he shut the gates, you can return, but the door won't be opened. The beautiful gate was there. But Peter and John had to be there to drag the lame after healing him to bring him inside. Without Peter and John, that lame could never go inside. So now, verse 15 says, if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be? But life from the dead. So, all the servants of God who suffered and died, if the sufferings of them gave me salvation, what would be the joy of them when we meet and sing and song, dance with them on the other side? How glorious it's going to be. Let's understand we are the partakers of the altar. The altar of sacrifice. Many people were slain, sacrificed for us. We are partakers of that suffering. We can't simply single out, Jesus suffered for me. The Lord would say, I suffered for you through my servants. You cannot simply play with God's word. I serve God alone.
I love God. I love God alone. Not reconciliation of the scripture. So, the fall of Jews opened the door for the rise of Gentiles. Amen? The failure of Esau opened the door for the victory of Jacob. Amen? Can Jacob boast his victory? Because Esau was not wise, Jacob took it from him. If Esau was wise, if Esau says, food, man shall not live by bread alone, by the word of God. I won't eat food. I will live, I will take my birthright, because my birthright is life. If Esau said that, Jacob is gone. Because Esau was not wise, physically, but spiritually, Jesus Christ was so wise to the point whereby he gave his life to you without you asking him. Because you were his enemy. We were all his enemies. Two different extreme events, but the same result. He gave his life, but we didn't ask him. Did we ask him, Lord, please go to Calvary, just die for me, I'll be a good man from now on? Did we tell him? No, we are the one who crucified him. We had a different role. Enemies who do not have the mind of Christ. Enemies of the mind of God. Now, Ephesians chapter 1 verse 7 to 10. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 7 to 10. In whom we have redemption. In whom we have redemption. He is not like the advocate, come and file some petition to take you out of the prison to come and give you freedom. In whom? The redemption is not outside him. The redemption is in him. Eve must go back inside of Adam. Not just outside of Adam, dance in front of him. We are not the daughter of Herodias to dance in front of the king Herod. We are Eve to go back into the garden. Into the Adam. In him. So we have redemption in him. Through his blood. I can do all things through Christ. Through his blood. So there is a process. The redemption was claimed through his blood. But through the blood, he reconciled all the enemies back to God. Amen? How can the Lord redeem enemies? He must change them first before he brings them inside. Changing from glory to glory, let's understand how the Lord is working in our lives. So verse 7, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, are not according to your goodness of your mind. Now, let's come to the second stage. The same way there is only one reconciliation, there is only one forgiveness. And that forgiveness is acknowledged, appreciated, rooted, understood by the blessedness of the Lord Almighty. Because of forgiveness, it clearly says, in his riches, seek the kingdom of God, the heavenly riches of kingdom. So that forgiveness is not within me, it has to be from him. But the problem is, we always want to be the one to help, to give feedback, to give advice, to forgive, but we would never want to be the one to ask for forgiveness, to receive the feedback, because we take the higher ground. My brethren, the more higher ground we go, the more danger is there to fall. Because it's called, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Spiritual wickedness of high places. The Lord is pointing high places. Genesis, Tower of Babel. Tower of Jezebel. The strong tower might not be so grander. It might be a small hut, a small tent in the valley. But the Lord would say, what a mighty strong tower. Because he put his name there. The blood of Christ was applied on the doorpost of the small tent. The Lord would say, strong tower. People would say, look at this tower. 70 stories. Millions of people guarding this tower. The Lord would shake the mountain. The tower will fall by itself. So what is strong tower? Not what we see with our eyes. Verse 8. Where he had abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. So out of the abundance of heart, my mouth speaketh. Look at this verse, abounded. It says, he had abounded toward us in all wisdom, in prudence. So the word toward is where we are going to take as the word for us to
eat the bread of life today. Toward. Abounded toward. In all wisdom and prudence, verse 9, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, he had purpose in himself, not with yourself. When God created all things, he said, let there be light. How many people give him advice to tell him how to make a light? He has a name, Wonderful Counselor. He gives us counsel. We don't give him counsel. We can only contend with him to learn from him in his word. The Lord teaches. But his name is Wonderful Counselor. The Lord, the way he works in our life, in our family, in the people who are not the believers yet, they could be the sincere servants of God, better than all of us, when the Lord called them to his marvelous light. Just a matter of time. Peter was rebuked by Paul. But Paul was not working with Peter. But God do not work in that way. How God works? He looks at the multitude of Israel. There's abomination going on. He looks down. Which vessel I can fill in my spirit? In my zeal, as a Lord of hosts, I shall throw the spear. I will put an end to that abomination. The Lord looks down. He could not fill Aaron. He could not fill Eleazar. He could not fill Moses. But he filled Phinehas. Can they stone Phinehas to death? It's called disobedient violence, right? If you don't see it correctly. Why Uzzah was killed, but Phinehas was glorified in the sight of the Lord? Uzzah touched the ark when the oxen stumbled. Because the Lord did not give an instruction. The oxen may stumble, catch the ark. That was not instructed. What was done out of the Lord's word was judged by the Lord Almighty. He struck. But when the Lord struck the child of David, it was not an immediate death. He gave 7 days' time. For what? He wanted David to pray. The Lord struck Nabal. He died after some time, right? But in that process, Abigail was also tested before Abigail can be given to David. The child of David, when David committed sin with Bathsheba, after he killed Uriah, that child was struck by the Lord with sickness. 7 days it lived, then it died. But David was not giving up. He was steadfast, praying, until he heard the news. The child is gone. He stood up and he started serving the Lord without thinking too much. The Lord gave him Solomon. So the prayers of David, was it vain? How come the Lord replaced him with Solomon? Who is the mother? Same Bathsheba, right? But this time she is the wife, not the woman of someone, some other man. So the prayers of the Lord's children would never, ever go in vain. It will be revealed in some other form. It will be resulted in some other fruit. Because God's word cannot go in vain. But if I pray in unfaithfulness, it will go in vain. Because there is no God present in that. So look at the word, the power of Ephesians 1, 7 to 10. It says, where he has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he had purposed in himself, verse 10, that in the dispensation, what? That in the dispensation of the fullness of times. We just read, the fullness of God dwell in Jesus Christ. Amen? What do you mean by fullness of God and fullness of times? What is fullness of times? What is grace? Why seven church ages? Why the time of judges, time of kings, time of prophets, time of wilderness, time of patriarchs? Why the Lord allowed this in? Different types of captivity, Assyrian, Syrian, Persian, Romanian, Greek. Why different times? And the Lord said, fullness of times. Not our expectations. Fullness of God's time, God's season. Every one of us are going through that season. If we can endure, we will be in that season as that river that flows to the ocean that I said. If we don't endure, we will jump out and we may become a lake. And the lake will be contaminated by things that are not lively. So when the Lord helps us to stand, he could make us to become a water that can help to bring vineyards and gardens. But still, that pond is linked to the river to be refilled. If it is cut off, that pond is dead. Correct? When it is dry, no refilling. Now read this again. that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ. Gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are in earth, even in him. Everything is united by the one who created, God of heaven and God of earth. Now, please load the image for Joshua. By God's grace, I saw a small tree. I would say it's in between plant and tree. Few months ago, just outside my house where I am renting the place. So when I saw it from a far distance in the night time, I thought that small plant with some fruits, like orange fruits, some fruit, because I saw the tree from a far distance. It looked like a green tree with orange dots. And the more closer I get, I saw this, the picture on the left hand side that was taken months ago. I waited for a few months to show the picture so that I can capture the progress of it. Few months ago, the tree had orange color, yellow color, small leaves outside. At first, it looked like a fruit. When I come closer, it looked like a dead leaf. Then I come closer. Then weeks ago, the orange color, the yellow color, different colors of leaves became increasing in the same plant. This is months ago and weeks ago. The next image, please. This is days ago, the left side. The same plant become full of green. All the colors are gone because all the leaves have matured to be of same color, almost same shape, to look like even like a single green color shirt. Yesterday, when I saw that, it was even more beautiful because there is a growth, there is a process. But 2 months ago, if I were to stand at a long, far distance, if I could not go nearer, I would have thought it's a tree with some orange fruits. Or if I decide to go a bit further, if I thought those are trees, like dead leaves that is about to fall, in both the stands, I was wrong. But when I went very closer, next one please, when I went very closer, I saw that beautiful branch of few leaves that came first, fully matured, beautifully green, but the new leaves, from small, it comes forth. It's in the process of growing. It looks so beautiful, like a flower. It looks like a flower, looks like a fruit if you see it a bit far distance. So, when I look, I don't see anything. But when I see everything. But to that, to reach that, I had to go closer, to go and touch, to go and feel, to go and see. Yesterday, when I was boarding the flight in the morning time to go to my uncle's burial, I was sitting in the window seat, I thank God. Then I was reading the Bible, just meditating on something. And this sermon, the Lord blessed me to prepare up in the air. I prepared the sermon when I was flying. So the sermon was prepared between these two different lands. The Lord blessed me with some thoughts. Then I looked outside the window, I saw clouds like a patch. Like a table with white plates served on the table. Clouds. Like a group of balls, group of, you know, white plates. Looked beautiful, and it was moving very fast. Now, within few seconds, the shape will be different, right? Small. And it all assembled like an army. Then I looked deeper, then I saw every cloud had a territory of shadow to give shadow to the land that is beneath. Every cloud. It looks so beautiful, as if there is a table, a lot of white plates, and that white plate had a shadow beneath. And the land was comforted by the shadow coming from that single cloud. If you go to the next one, please. So I managed to take a photo from the window. Just look at the cloud. The left side, you see every cloud. I want to zoom in one particular cloud. If you zoom in, you could see a beautiful shadow beneath the cloud, correct? Because from a very high altitude, you can see the cloud and the sunlight and the shadow exactly beneath the cloud. And in that shadow, whatever the house, people walking, they know that they are under the shadow of the cloud. But when they go out, they are exposed to the hot or the warm of the sun. And it like that, there were hundreds of clouds. No, actually, I was flying across. Then after a few minutes, the next one, please. We reached the high altitude. could not see any gap. It was full of pure white, like a field, like a garden, but pure white. No gap. Everything became like a single carpet. And there was a big dark shadow below the carpet. So now, I want to go to the flower with the birds. Yeah, yeah. Next. Yes. This one, just outside our church building, which I took many months ago. And when I saw that, I thought, what do I see? I see only one flower, right? But that is flesh. What do you see? Only one flower, right? At the bottom. Oh, yeah, there is one flower. No. Look at on the top. How many buds are there about to bring forth the flower? In a matter of time, this will be a branch full of flower. So, please close it. In three beautiful examples of God's creation, a tree, no fruit, no flower, but look beautiful, absolutely stunning. Look like a tree with flowers, but it's nothing but leaves. But how those leaves came out? Because of the leaves that are already in that plant. It do the work of getting sunlight, put the work, and the root does the work of taking the water, nutrition from the sand, and the leaves do the work of getting the light. Because the leaves are not meant to take the water. They are meant to do the work of processing the light of the sun and bring forth the new leaves in the same tree. But the root was in charge of standing firm. The root was in charge of holding firm. The root was in charge as a sign of life. Nutrition come from the root. Light, water come from the root. But the leaves had to walk in the light. If they walk in the light, there could come a new leaf. But what we would say, I only want orange fruit. I only want apple fruit. I only want banana fruit. The Lord would say, look at the beauty. No, I don't like it. I only want this. My brethren, understand the will of God. We cannot tell the tree that I want this fruit. The fruit is known by the tree. The tree is known by the fruit because he is all in all. That lesson, I was so blessed. What is fruitful in your eyes? What is fruitful in your eyes? Then that branch of flower, which had only one flower, if I look at that flower, then those 20 birds I counted, there are yet to come. But our eyes see what is pleasing, what is good for me. Hey, look at my plant, there is a fruit. But there is a lot to come. It's not seen yet. Let me believe when I see. Blessed is he who believed without seeing. The work of the Lord is not limited by the minds of men. Those clouds which was giving shadow underneath, like the fivefold ministries in every single land, hiding the people under the shadow of the Lord Almighty. Without them, how the Lord would prepare us for the final battle where all earth will be filled in his glory. In that few minutes, I was so blessed by seeing the transition of small cloud giving shadow. Then the more higher we went up, I couldn't see the earth because it was all white. Purest form of clouds like a turf. I can go and play football, like a ground. So, there are snow mountains on the earth and there are snow mountains up in the air floating. Looks like exactly the same. And we say, Lord, as we sing a song, wash me like snow, Lord. But the Lord don't want us to be burdened, to be grounded. He wants us to be light, to fly up. Because we have to meet him up in the air, not on the ground. So now, why we have to meet him up in the air and why reconciliation is critical for us to be delivered, free to fly. If we haven't done the reconciliation properly, it's a cage. It's a cage, locked, and the key is in your hand. And you are inside the cage. Do you hear me? If the reconciliation is not done as per the ministry of reconciliation, we are inside the cage with the key in our hand. And we say, Lord, breaker of chains, come, break the door. The Lord would say, the key is with you. I don't accept it. Greater is he who is in me. I know, but I don't accept it. There is only one reconciliation. The Lord will reveal to us today in his scripture. Let's turn our Bibles to Book of Acts, chapter 26. Toward, remember the word toward, and remember the title. The, not a, there is only one power of resurrection. There is only one power of reconciliation. There is only one. The ministry of reconciliation has a pattern of how the bride shall reconcile herself. Acts 26, 20 and 21. Book of Acts, chapter 26, verse 20 and 21. But shewed first unto them of Damascus, I'm sure Apostle Saul would be enjoying the word Damascus. He knows what happened between Damascus and Jerusalem. Two different places. But the life of Saul is never the same. Shewed and first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea and then to the Gentiles. And then to the Gentiles. There was a process for the Lord to reach out to Gentiles through his servant Apostle Paul, who was called to breathe life unto Gentiles by the power of God, and that they should repent and return to God and do works need for repentance. Praise the Lord. That they should repent and return to God and do works, not just believe or just say. There is no acceptable service to the Lord that is still under the roof of eye service. Scripture says that, eye service. Eye service, can see, but nothing, only shallow. Surface level scattering, no deep level scuba diving. We have to go deeper. So now, when Apostle Paul said this, verse 21, it says, for this cause, Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. I mentioned last Sunday, repentance will bring hatred. Why? It's a rebellion against the flesh. It's not just the flesh rebel against the spirit. When the Lord rebel against the flesh will be burnt. All he needs is us to accept it, surrender, submit and yield. And Joshua will shout, the walls of Jericho will be destroyed. What we read in Colossians, Ephesians, the Lord can destroy the walls in between us. How we do that? He will just speak. The one who said, let there be light, can't he say, let the wall be destroyed? He can say that. But the problem is, can we receive it? So, when Apostle Paul said, the Jews caught me in the temple, so they were able to catch him. The Lord allowed him to be caught. But they couldn't kill him. The enemy was about to catch Job, but couldn't kill Job. Because God said, don't you dare to touch his life. It's mine. I will take him when I want to take him. He the one that giveth, the one he taketh. So, they caught him. He says, they went about to kill me. So, they wanted to kill him, but couldn't kill him. But they made him to feel the pain. They were successful. We had to give them that. He felt the pain because the Lord said he will go through the pain. But I want you all to think why the Lord allowed him to feel the pain. If there is no fruit of that pain, if there is no salvation that is going to come forth from that pain. Because God will not do anything without a cause. A father would never chasten the child if that chastening doesn't benefit the child. If he do so, he is the abusive father. Our Lord is almighty, not abusive. He's amazing, wonderful, beautiful. So now, Book of Acts, chapter 20, 21. I'm coming to the word toward. For all of us to be loosened. For all of us to be cut off from our own bonds in Jesus' name. 20:21. It says, and testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God. So I want to keep the word toward God. Acts 20:21. Amen. Now let's go to Acts 24:1-6. 24:1-2. 24:1-16, I believe. Yeah, 24:15. 24:15, Book of Acts. And have hope toward God. Amen. Beautiful. We just heard the word repentance toward God. Checklist done. Hope toward God. Checklist added. Good. Hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and unjust. Because he gave his life as a ransom for all. Amen. And he don't want anyone to perish. Remember that. Verse 16. And herein, because I understand the revelation of the death of my Lord, the sacrifice of my Savior on the cross, why the blood was shed. I understand the revelation. Now I do. How he do? And herein do I exercise myself. Self-examining process, self-reflection process, self-denial process, and I exercise my faith. Not your mind, not your strength. I exercise my faith as a part of the word. And why? Have always a conscience void of offense. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Offense toward God. For the scripture is not over yet. The groom is not complete without the bride. Jesus Christ is not complete without his bride, because we are a part of him. Until he reconciles us completely, there is no rest. Because he is on a hunt. The good shepherd is hunting the every single sheep. Now, it says toward God and toward men. This is where reconciliation failed. Because we feel comfortable with this. Why? We accept he is on higher ground, God Almighty created me, okay. You have my approval that I will submit to you. Because you are God, can't see you. God is spirit, very powerful, you know. He can just end my life just like that. But who are you? Who are you? You are on par with me. I will lift my heel against you. I will kick you on the chest with my words. Who are you? We all serve God and God alone. Is it? Acts 24:16. Nothing can be added, nothing can be taken. Herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience, the mind of Jesus Christ. Without the conscience, there is no reconciliation. Because the ministry of reconciliation belongs to him. He is the owner. The ministry of reconciliation belongs to him. Which means I must have his mind to understand what is reconciliation in my life. Because if God reconciles everyone back to him, we reconcile one another back to us. Because we are the part of the word. In the same way, he reconciled us back to him. Same way, no other way. He is the way. No other way. In what way it was spoken, in the same way it must be addressed. In what way it was done, in the same way it must be undone. Because God of the world is the God of the new. He is the same. We cannot take his position. So now, look at it very carefully. To have always, always, not any time, always means sign of life. I'm alive. Always my lung is breathing. I'm alive. My heart is always beating. Always willing to do what is good. So now, let's go to 2 Peter 3 verse 19 to 24. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 19 to 24. Last Sunday, the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 7, verse 16 to 18, how the Lord helped us to understand. Be not overly righteous, amen? Because righteous has no anything above. The Lord is holy, that's all. Do not be overly righteous, that is Ecclesiastes 7. Now, let's go to 2 Peter, chapter 3, 1 second. Yes, chapter 3, verse 9.
chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise. Remember the tree that I showed you. Remember the cloud that I showed you. Remember the branch of flower that I showed you. It doesn't listen to what we expect. It just do what it is created to do. Amen? Now remember that. Now you read. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness. Oh Lord, You could have done better. Which means My throne is above His throne. To be able to tell Him. Because lesser blessed by greater. Hebrews 7:7. Correct? Hebrews 7:7. Lesser blessed by greater. Isaiah 7:7. It shall not stand. It shall not come to pass. You can easily remember this. Chapter 7, verse 7. Beautiful number. Isaiah 7:7. Hebrews 7:7. Remember this. Anything against God's will, it shall not stand, it shall not come to pass. But anything in God's will, the lesser blessed by the greater. Amen? For greater is He. Now, here it says, verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us what? To what? And now I want you to focus on to us what? For whom? For His people. Us. So what does He say? Not willing that any should perish, but all that should come to repentance, not to Goshen, not to the promised land, not to the Garden of Eden. Come to repentance first. In order for them to come to repentance, someone should be in the middle for the reconciliation. Because Jesus Christ shed His blood on the cross for the enemies to be reconciled, for Him to give His life. And what is reconciliation? Making peace with others. My brethren, let's take a good example of our office work. Our colleagues. I'm pretty sure you all have your own Memphis or someone who always fight with you. But somehow, you found a way to smile in the face, to work, to coexist, not because you are a good man or a good woman, because you won't get salary if you don't do so. You will lose your job. Because no matter wherever you go, you will always find such people in the workplace. Can't escape. So you accepted the reality, and without willingness and desire, you learned to survive politically in an office environment. That is not reconciliation. That is survival. That is Jacob being cunning to keep his job. We all have to fight the battle of flesh. But can it be possible in the house of God? It's okay. It's okay. We are all brothers in Christ. So let's just do something to live peaceably. Do something to live peaceably. The Lord would say, I am peace. So you mean you will do something to Me? He is peace. So we can do something to Him. So we can alter Him. If we take a leave in the office, what would we say? Annual leave, medical leave, childcare sick leave, unconditional leave, conditional leave, paid leave, unpaid leave, overseas leave, business leave. There are so many types of leave. We have to show the proof to apply for leave. If not, we would be fired. We are scared. But in the kingdom of God, I report to God. I serve God. I serve God alone. When the Lord decided to reconcile all of us back to Him, did He do it by Himself or through His ministries? There was a pair of knees on the ground. There was a set of eyes crying in tears. There are people on the road distributing tracts. There are preachers who hide all their pain and betrayal behind their back, put on some shirt and come and preach in love, in truth, that soul must be saved. Because of that, we are sitting here, every one of us. How are we going to reconcile back to all of them? Because God is in all of them. It was God who delivered the people of Israel through Moses. It was God who brought peace to the city of Israel through David. It was God who preached the gospel of peace through Gentiles, through Apostle Paul. Through. How can we ignore the work of God and the vessels of God through whom we receive the work of God? Toward God and toward man, because God is the one who created the man, and these, they are the one, they serve God. And they can be enemies. It's okay. You are an enemy. I was an enemy. If the Lord can change me from being an enemy to being a child of God, why can't He do the same thing to someone? I see a very bad, unhealthy, dangerous, poisonous pattern of despising other ministries, other denominations. From which denomination the apostle came? Our apostle, the Lord bless us with. How many years he was in that particular denomination? Those who know him well, you all know it was not few days. It was years. He was 12 when the Lord touched him. He was 23 when he was baptized. So what happened to those 11 years? Why the Lord did not take him out? So can you say that there was no Holy Ghost in the life of God's servant? My brethren, God can work even in the midst of Egyptians. That doesn't mean there is no God. The Lord knows His children. Wherever they are, the Holy Ghost will function. And will, at the right time, He will take us out. Or He will change everything around us. He will do either one. But nothing will go in vain. But because of that, you cannot say, God allowed this to happen. No, no, no. That is where the Lord's righteousness comes in between. The Lord would not allow anything that is profaning His name. Let's keep it simple. But in His everlasting mercy, He might guide you. The Lord would never allow His children to do something that is taking them one step away from Him. That is not God Almighty. But He would do in His everlasting mercy to draw us back. So if that is the reconciliation of God, do we have the same? Because Jesus said, you do my work. Greater work you will do. Amen? So what do we read here? Verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. That is what the Lord says, everyone do the work when it is a day. When the night cometh, no man can work. Amen? No man can work. Which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works, and therein shall be burned up. Everything else will be burned up. Seeing that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons are ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? What do all of us want to be? The Lord says, choose. Today is the day. Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of the Lord, wherein heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be different, be diligent, that ye may be found of Him in peace, without spot and blameless. Now I ask you a question. When I showed you the tree with all those leaves, new leaves coming out, if I asked you by showing one picture of the trees with new leaves, with beautiful colors, and one picture of the same tree when all those leaves are grown up, if I tell you, choose the one which is full of spots and blame, or choose the one which is spotless and blameless, if you tell me, I would choose this one with spots and blame. I would choose this one. These are spotless and blameless. You have the eyes of the flesh. Isn't it? Both are same. The color of the leaf, the growth of the leaf, doesn't make the tree with spots and blame. The tree is still spotless, still blameless, as long as the work of God is going on. But your eyes may see green tree, tree with orange and red leaves. Spots and blame, is it? Sign of life is sign of life. Sign of growth. Sign of growth, sign of God is in the midst of His children. Amen? Now let's turn our Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Remember, we are all the partakers of the halter. Amen? And Prophet Elijah, he brought all the people of God toward the altar and he repaired the altar. Not the altar of stone, but the people of God are part of the altar because they are the partakers of the altar. Whatever that was done, that was said, that was sacrificed, every one of us, we are partakers. Now, let's read with that desire, Matthew chapter 5, verse 23 to 24. Let's understand how the Lord works. I want all of us to think your heart as the altar, and the altar of the church as the altar, and the living sacrifice of your life as an altar. Now you read chapter 5, verse 23, not spoken by men, but spoken by the word of God. 23. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and thou rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother and then come and offer thy gift. Who spoke this? The word of God. Are you the part of the word? Do we do this? Have we done this properly? Have we done this in a way it was supposed to be done as it is in the scripture? If we haven't done that, that lack of reconciliation will follow the rest of our life as a painful bondage that hurts you day and night, would never leave you. Why? Spirit of God is liberty. But if the reconciliation is not done, then where is the power of the Spirit of God? Then there is no liberty. Why Jesus said, we say, Lord, I want the gift of the Spirit. The Lord says, I'm looking to get the gift from you. Because verse 23 says, if thou bring thy gift, and we say, Lord, your gift. But the Lord says, if you bring thy gift to the altar, if you have something that you haven't done properly, you didn't make your heart straight with men, we always escape. I forgive what? God forgives me for what? I love God, I serve God. I'm not answerable to anyone. I don't care what others think of me. That is being absolute. We have every reason to be mindful, to be concerned, to be burdened, to be humble, to be humiliated, to be sincere, to go on our knees, to think always of the have the conscience, what my life has cost to others, and what I should do to make the amends, and how I should do to make the amends, in what way it was done, it has to be undone in the same way. Jacob wrestled with the angel of the Lord, but in front of his brother, he knelt down, he bowed to the ground. Remember this. We always exaggerate. Jacob wrestled with the Lord throughout the night. Jacob bowed before his brother, bowed to the ground, asking for forgiveness because he thought Esau should spare his life. But why Jacob didn't say, God is with me, Esau can't touch me, I will burn down Esau. No. What Jacob did to Esau would remain as his own guilt, own humbleness, for him to keep himself in the right place. If he is thinking everything spiritually properly. Because in our victory, someone failed. Gentiles received salvation because Jews became blind. Gentiles received gospel because Apostle Paul suffered and died. Jacob received the birthright because Esau was foolish to lose it. Can you despise his foolishness? But the Bible says he is the one who gives us the wisdom and prudence. The wisdom is not from Jacob. It is from God Almighty. Flesh has nothing to boast. Look at the word. If they remember that their brother had ought against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar. Go to the brother. Go to the sister. Have a one-to-one. Discuss. Pray together. Sort it out. Whether they forgive you or not, sort it out. Let the word to be spoken and reconcile yourself, cut off yourself from that bondage. If you don't do it, you will suffer until you die. Scripture. Spirit of God is liberty, but there is self-denial process that is not bound to the liberty. We have to do it. We have to do it by ourselves. We have to cut it off ourselves. We have to embrace the love of God, not in the way of love of men, but in the way it has to be done. Now it says, verse 24, leave there thy gift. Don't offer. Am I correct? Don't offer.
not acceptable. Leave it there. Take the bone of out of thine own eye before you take the bone of someone's eye. We always take it in the wrong way. If I want to tell someone don't drink, I should become a person. I should be a person who don't drink. Easy, right? You don't drink because you are not attracted towards it. Everyone has a weakness. Different weakness. Short temper, anger, ego, self-loathing, inferiority complex, superiority complex. You, whatever your flesh is attracted, that is your alcoholic addiction. Whatever my flesh is longing, that is my lust. That is my gluttony. We cannot say, thank God I'm not a murderer. But my sharp words can kill a motivation of a person. I'm a murderer. I kill the encouragement of a person. I'm a murderer. Look at the way Jesus speaks in Matthew chapter 18. 18, verse 15 to 17. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. Who spoke this? Jesus Christ. Not any of us, not the disciples, not the apostles. The word of God himself spoke this. Link it with Matthew 5. Link it with Matthew 5. Alone, if he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So what is reconciliation? Losing or gaining? What is reconciliation? Losing or gaining? Gaining is reconciliation. Losing is circumcision. Losing is circumcision. Lose the flesh, circumcision. Gain the seeds, reconciliation. If it was done in one-to-one, it has to be done in one-to-one. If it was done in one-to-many, it has to be undone in one-to-many. Because in what way it came, in the same way it shall return. Why? God is righteous. He has no special quota. He has only one, the perfect will of God. Verse 16, but if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word be established. Step number two. If step number one fails. Amen? But most of the time, these two steps were never ever followed. Go straight to third step. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church, congregation, city, family. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. Why the Lord is speaking in such a manner? Because he knows what's going to happen to his teachings. 300 years later, the scripture was compiled. When it was compiled, the division started. Thousands of denominations. You know why? Repentance was misunderstood. Churches taking away repentance from people. When there is no true repentance, no true reconciliation. When there is no true reconciliation, no truth. When there is no truth, denominations will be ruled by thoughts and desires of men. Scripture says that. So, when we compromise being full of love in our own philia, we might compromise the truth. My brethren, remember this. Anything against the truth, no one can do anything against the truth. When the truth is compromised, it is not the love of God in Jesus' name. When the truth is compromised, it is not, it is never, it will never be the love of God. Because it says here, if verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. The Lord has given us the power and grace, mercy, truth, faith, the abundance of the revelation. So when we see what happens in denominational churches, what they do, they tell people, you love God, God loves you so much, you can simply say, Lord, I did something, sorry, and the Lord will forgive you. Say 10 times Hail Mary, you are done. Where is repentance? If there is no true repentance, run away from the church. There is no truth. It's a bondage. of self-vain glory. Let's close. Proverbs 28:13. Let's close with this. Proverbs 28:13. Let's look at the true prosperity of the true church of God. Proverbs 28:13. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whosoever confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Now bring it. James 5:16 says, confess your weakness, your trespasses together and be healed together, because someone is taking your sin. Someone is bearing the pain that we are supposed to go through. In a family of God, if someone is suffering, do not think that they are suffering because of something happened in their life. My brethren, in the body of Christ, if a finger suffers, that suffering has a role to play in the entire body of Christ. There is a purpose for the tear that was shed. There is a purpose for the pain that was endured. Because we are all one body of Christ. The right finger was supposed to be injured, but the left finger went forward to take it. That is why the Lord said, do not take it lightly that when we are one family of God, when one suffers, all go and suffer with it. Why? You were supposed to suffer. Someone took it before behalf of you. I was supposed to be hit by the van, but the old uncle, he went forward to be hit. If not, I'm dead on that day. But I don't know who he is. But I should thank the Lord for his life as long as I remember. Can I say, the Lord did this. I don't care about the vessel. I care about the Creator. The Lord would say, did you just despise me? Oh, no, Lord. I just glorified you. But I am in the vessel. When you despise the vessel, you despise me. They that hated Jesus without a cause, and Jesus said, they hated me first before they hated you. Why the Lord said? To have, always have the conscience how my life is. To God and to God's family, to God and to God's ministry, and to God and God's children. And that consciousness, that mind of Christ, will give us the power of reconciliation. What I should do to bring peace, live peaceably with all men, because He is peace. Live peaceably with all men, Hebrews 12:14. Live peaceably. What is that peace? Did I say that I love you? Or do I hold it because I don't want to say? Did I say, can you forgive me? Or I don't want to say because I'm just full of ego, but I just hide it by the same that I tell it to Jesus. Because the song says, I tell it to Jesus, tell it to Jesus. But Jesus says, I'm in them. So, one to many, many to many, in the fellowship of our life, when we reconcile, the Lord can destroy all the barriers among us. He would bring us closer and closer, and the wildfire will catch. When the wildfire catches, people will come like the shadow of the cloud. People will come for the warm feeling of the wildfire. People will find comfort. The Lord will show His light to them. Salvation will happen. But before that, the fellow husbandry, God's husbandry, the fellow builder must come together. Amen? May the Lord help us that we reconcile with every one of our loved ones, colleagues, workers, whoever you know. Do not limit the reconciliation within your God's family. Everyone, God's creation. Let's do our part beautifully, truthfully. Leave it to the Lord. But if we don't do it, that will hunt us back as a bondage. Amen? The Lord will guide us. Let's all stand as we close. Our Lord, our God, we thank you, Lord. You had purposed that the wicked mind of our lives when we are walking dead, you believe that you could still reconcile all of us back to thee, because you saw the light in us, because we are the seeds of the Lord Almighty. But Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you did not throw us to be perished, but you gathered us to be alive. Thank you, Lord, that you did this through the laborers in the field. Help us, Lord, that we understand the brother who is next to me is a laborer in my life. The sister who is next to me is a laborer in my life. The brother and sister who is behind me, they are laborers in this field.
the brother and sister who is in front of me, joining from overseas. We are all the workers of the Lord, the children of the Lord, the seeds of the Lord, the trees of the Lord, in the garden of the Lord. Help us, Lord, to learn to see you through them. To learn to understand the work of the Lord's reconciliation, the ministry of redemption. If there is no reconciliation, there is no redemption. If there is no repentance, there is no revival. Help us, Lord, to understand the way you work so that we can follow the ark with the right intent. People, many people followed Jesus, but very few had the right intent. Help us, Lord, that we are not just a follower, but the faithful believers, disciples of Christ, who earned the name of friends of Christ because the Lord revealed his will to his friend. He said, Abraham, is there anything that I will hide from thee? Help us, Lord. The mystery of thy will has to be revealed to us. But for that, we must do our work. We must put our work. We must deny ourselves. We must speak. We must do everything that is working against the flesh to come victorious in spirit, O Lord. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. As one congregation, one family, one church of God, one bride, the ministry of Jesus Christ, together in one accord, one mind, we invite you, the breaker of chains. We invite you, the great physician. We invite you, the blessed redeemer. We invite you, the mighty deliverer. We invite you, the wonderful counselor. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Heal us, Lord. Reconcile all of us as a church of God, family of God, one true living God, as one true living army of God. Help us, Lord. Let there be unity in Jesus' name. Let there be the Lord's agape love to flow through us like a beautiful, sweet river in Jesus' name. Let there be love. Let there be restoration of relationships. Let there be return of our loved ones. Let there be, O Lord, revival. The doors of revival shall be opened for the glory of thy name, for the salvation of the people in this land. In this land. In Jesus' name we all pray. Amen and amen. God bless you all. Shalom. Praise the Lord.